Thank you, Aunt Cherie. I'm part French, if you didn't catch that. Good morning, church. How are we? I love it. Great response. So just a few things. If you're wondering where Ross is, Ross is in the North Coast at Co Church, if you don't know who that is. So we used to have a North Coast site, and through some circumstances, that site kind of just dwindled a little bit in the site pastor left, so there was a church that started during or just before COVID, so they kind of amalgamated and got absorbed, and so they are co-church. They're 2 years old today, so Ross went to go preach there with them. So if you see Ross, just chat to him. So he's not absent by his own design. He's actually preaching across Durban, and then I like to celebrate some stuff before we actually kick off and get started. So if you're wondering where some of your tithes money goes, for anyone who does wonder, it actually really makes a huge, huge difference in serving the kingdom. So Kids Church right now, they're currently renovating that space to make it more sensitive. So they have sensory room for all the kids that are maybe a little overwhelmed by the noise or anything else. So they're upgrading that space quite a bit. There's going to be new games situated for children, so it's not just a free-for-all. They've removed the jungle gym in that space. They've repainted the walls. They're going to continue doing that entrance area up a little bit. So that's one of the places that like a majority of your finances, not a majority, some of your finances go. If you ever want to go have a look, go have a look. It actually is quite incredible what they get to do in that space. And then this past week on Wednesday, we had a gathering event for all of our youth and young adults. We hadn't had one in about a year. And we had 200 young people gathering to worship God and be encouraged. So, I mean, that's just some amazing stuff that we get to do together as we see God's kingdom impacted and influenced. So you guys are really helping us make a difference in the kingdom. So thank you so much for the way that you guys continue to give and sow into this church. But this morning, I'm going to be kicking off our But God series. If you've been with us for quite some time now, you know that we do these every year. It's really a series to stir up faith, a series to speak to the deepest parts of our souls, remind ourselves again of how good God has been to all the people that I have been in the Bible, and also you in your own personal walk with God, how good he's been to you and how much he's going to continue to be good to you for the things that are to come. So it's really having faith for the future. It's stirring up faith within ourselves for what is to come. But that requires us to take a moment, a selah, as I like to call it. It's like a spiritual, intentional pause in life. I'm just going to press hold for a second and then look back at where I've come from. Look at God again, see him rightly, right-size him in the nature of how I view circumstances in my life, how I respond to those circumstances. And then from that place, I could take a faith step towards where life is taking me or anything else that might be happening around my life. So that's what this series is about. So this morning's service, this one actually, is not really a deeply theological. That's not the point. That's not what I really care about at this moment. But what I do care about is that we actually look at a scripture and a portion of the Bible that actually helps us to leave here with more faith than what we came in here with. Whether that's, I don't even believe God is real, so I want to take the faith step to actually ask him the question to reveal himself to me. Or that is, man, I've actually been struggling with this faith journey. I need more faith for what is to come. Or, my goodness, I've just been taking faith step after faith step, but I want more. So essentially us having faith for more. Is that okay? Can we do that? Yes. Amen. Okay, so I want to read for us a portion of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 46, and then I'm going to pray. Elijah prays for rain. 41, it says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming.' So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, 'Go and look toward the sea. Go and look out toward the sea.' The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, 'I don't see anything.' Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, 'I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea.' Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." As soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can just take a moment just to pause, even if it is just in this moment or just after this moment. But help us to see you rightly in these moments. By the power of your Spirit, I pray that we get to look back and have our faith raised up again, our faith stirred up to continue on this journey, because we've seen how good you have been, and therefore have faith for how good you will continue to be. Speak to us this morning, Father, as we look at and unpack this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Sherry, could you hand me that instrument of... Thank you. Have you ever gone fishing? Who here has gone in fishing? Indians, go. Kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. Don't write an email to me, please. I was kidding. I was joking. I've only ever been fishing once in my life. Back in 2015, I had a friend, his name was Richard. So the one Monday morning, he said, "Hey, yo, let's go fishing." And I was like, done. So we go Monday morning. Now, obviously, I'd never done this thing before, so I was unfamiliar with any of these mechanics or whatever. So he had to teach me everything. He showed me how to run the line or how to hook the bait. I can't remember what we're fishing for that day, but we went to a dam. So whatever you find in the dam, that's what we were fishing for. So then he shows me how to cast the line. So you like a nice little wow, you chuck it out nice and deep, and then you kind of get two sticks, because this one is the fish where you just get two sticks, you just leave your rod there and you kind of just wait. And then at some point you're like, this sport is boring. How do people do this every single day, or as often as they can? And then out of nowhere, so he had a rod and I had one. And then I just hear a zzzz. Now that was my rod. So then I was like, obviously beginning to panic. So he was like, grab your rod. And then he's showing me now how to reel it in. So it's not just like you go crazy and you could snap the line. So he says, lean back, reel in, let the fish run. And then lean back, reel in, let the fish run. Lean back, reel in. So I was like, I was doing that and it was working. And then it got stuck somewhere. Now obviously I didn't know this. So he was like, oh, I think it got stuck. So we're like, all right. So we left a little bit. And then the fish ran off again. And then this time I was a little bit nervous. So I was like, hey, you grab it. Like, bring this guy in. So then he did it. And we caught the fish, reeled it in. And then he gave it to me. So obviously we took a picture, you know, live in that generation. Took a picture with the fish. And then, so it wasn't a catch and consume situation. It was a catch and release. So we caught the fish, took a picture, and we released it. And then, obviously, you got to hook all the stuff again, cast your line, wah, nice and deep. And then you sit, and then you wait and wait and wait. And at that point, when we got there, there were people that had already been there for some time. And they're like, hey, bro, it's a bad day. You're not going to catch anything. So when we caught something, they came running. Oh, my gosh, what do you guys do? It's the anointing of the Lord. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. So then they go back and carry on. And then now my line again catches another fish. Now, because I'm a generous friend, I was like, Richard, you can have this one. So he comes up, grabs the reels of fish, and it's bigger than mine. So I was like, dang it, don't be a good friend again. Because I was a little bit competitive. But this idea of fishing, for me, often reminds me of this idea of praying. Because you see, we cast the line out. Trust God to catch the thing that we want to catch. Trust God for breakthrough in that specific thing or that area in our lives. Trust God to get something, and so we do what we can to reel this thing in. And once we caught the fish, God has been so good. But sometimes you cast the line, you don't catch anything at all. Other times you cast the line and you catch something that you didn't want to catch. So sometimes you send out a prayer, and the way God responds isn't the way that you expected him to respond. Or sometimes you cast out a prayer and God doesn't respond at all, it would seem. Or sometimes you cast out this line and God absolutely exceeds your expectations, to the which the thing that you're catching is so big, your boat is almost going to topple over. We cast out lines day in and day out. I refuse to believe that there are Christians in this room that aren't casting out lines as we speak. We're trusting God for something, healing in my body for this thing that I have, or my friend's whatever, or my family's thing. I'm trusting God to heal my marriage. Or God, I'm praying for you to do something. I'm praying for you to do this. I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And very often it might seem like God isn't responding the way that we want him to. It doesn't look like the way that we want it to look. It isn't as good as we thought that it would be. And very often, or sometimes, for most of us, we get to a point where, because these things aren't coming the way that we want them to come, our faith in God dwindles just a little bit, or is affected to the point where I don't have enough faith for the next thing. So then we get to this point of complacency, to which we say, I'll take matters into my own hands. And then we start praying prayers like, God, I'm doing this thing, help me. God, I'm doing this thing, make it work in my favor. God, I'm doing this thing, make it work, make it look good, make it succeed. To which then we turn God into a great waiter in the sky, just serving us the things that we want. Here's Elijah, and we're going to get into some of the context of this portion of scripture together at some point in this message. But he casts out a line several times. I'm praying for rain, God. Bring on the rain. At this point, northern Israel had been in a drought for 7 years. So there he was, throwing out the line, catches nothing. Throws out the line, catches nothing. Throws out the line, catches nothing. If you were Elijah, would we have stopped at some point? Probably, right? That's just the nature of how we do things. Man, I've been praying for this thing for so long, I might as well just give up because it's not panning out or playing out the way that I want it to. So therefore, we put the rod down and take matters into our own hands. Then we ask God to help us succeed with what we're trying to do, as opposed to getting in line with what he's actually doing. I think that when we get to this point, our faith in God is determined by the nature of our circumstances. God, I'll believe in you if you. I'll believe in you when you. Or my faith in you will grow when I see you do this. I'll take far greater faith steps as and when I see you do something. Which obviously we know that's somewhat dangerous territory. Because faith is, of course, as it says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. So it means that we take faith steps in realms and areas and portions of our lives with things that we have not yet seen come to pass. See, if we look at this portion of scripture that we just read, there are a couple interesting things that I would like to note for us this morning. And the first of those is that Elijah says this before he actually prays to Ahab. Go and get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. What kind of faith must Elijah have, not in the nature of the circumstance, but in the God that he serves, to be able to declare or speak to the circumstance before he ever prays for it? So he hasn't yet cast out the line, but he's first declaring, I'm actually going to catch a great fish. How often do you and I speak to our circumstances, our seasons, our troubles, our trials, before we ever get to them? How often do we actually move in faith before God responds? Now, our heart in this series is to get to a point where our faith, not in the nature of our circumstances, but in the person of God, is so great that we can take faith steps before God ever moves. And how he moves doesn't affect the nature with which we take faith steps. So our lives are, man, I'm taking a faith step this way, faith step that way, faith step after faith step, as you watch God respond to the nature of our faith. Not in the circumstance, but in Him. I genuinely believe that this morning, if you and I will grab a hold of seeing God rightly, then the nature of how we respond to His nature will change how we walk the journey of faith. See, the thing about the story of Elijah, that he got to this point because he had countless but God moments that led him to the point of actually saying, my God is so good, so faithful, that I can actually speak to the circumstance before I get to it. So if you read 1 Kings chapter 17 or 18, 17 into 18, we see that Elijah was somewhat of a wild man, so he lived out in the wilderness. So because there was a drought in that area, obviously there was not much water, but where he was placed, there was a river of water flowing. So we can imagine that Elijah's but God testing me in that moment. Man, I was living out the wilderness, but God sent water or placed me next to a river of water to take care of me so I have water to drink in a time of a drought. When it comes to food, ravens brought him food. I would have starved to death in the wilderness, but God, who is so good to me, sent ravens to take care of me and gave me what I needed to eat. When the water ran out, because obviously they were in a drought, God says to him, go to the widow in the next town, and she'll give you food and water. They get there, and the widow's like, I don't have enough food for the three of us. I have just enough for my son and myself to eat, upon which at that point we won't have any more food at all. But God, working through Elijah, he says, don't even worry, God will give all of us enough food and water to drink. So she responds in faith and makes food for the three of them, and they never went hungry. Now, obviously, at some point, God sends them to Ahab and Jezebel because it was a pretty gnarly time in northern Israel. But the son actually dies at some point. So this woman is at a point where she's like, man, I could actually, to somewhat of a degree, blame Elijah for the death of my son. But the son was prayed for by Elijah, and he raised him from the dead and then sent him back to his mom. Now you can imagine, if you and I were Elijah, seeing these but God moments time and time again, this is going to happen in this way, man, but God came through. This is going to play out in this way, but God. This, but God, but God, but God. If you see so many but God moments, what do you imagine it would do to your faith? Not in, man, God has given me nice stuff, but what would it do for your faith in God? No matter where I go or what I do, I am taken care of by my Father in heaven. So that means I can go anywhere or do anything because of Him. I'll speak in faith and trust it'll be that way because of Him. I believe that in those moments, Elijah got to see God rightly. He got to right-size him. Man, if the nature of life can't stop the goodness and provision of God, then nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop his goodness from intervening. Nothing can stop his grace from being felt. Nothing can stop his love from being seen. Nothing can stop God doing what he wants to do in a moment. To a point where now he's challenging these prophets of Baal, and he wins that challenge. It's like, cool, Ahab and Jezebel, get all of your prophets. We'll see who is the one true God. Faith like that doesn't come or arise by accident. It requires a degree of intentionality to see God in your circumstance, not because of the outcome, but because He is involved in your life. If I had to say to you right now, just take a pause, breathe, and then look back at your but God moments, would that be an easy or difficult thing to do? If it would be easy, shoot up your hand. If I say, give me five very quick but God statements. If it'd be easy, shoot, go. It's okay. All right. So for the majority of us, it's a difficult thing to do. Have you ever wondered why? Why is it so difficult for me to actually remember what God has done? We did this exercise on Tuesday as staff, leading into this series, just to kind of prepare ourselves and I suppose position ourselves well to respond to this moment and also lead from the front. Ross is like, write down five but God statements that you've seen God do in your ministry or the place that you're serving in, and then write down five but God statements where you've seen God break through in your own life. Church stuff, a little easier. Just, you know, seeing God come through, blah, 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 bang. My own personal stuff, when I say it to you, it took me a while to only get three. I sat there, rattled my brain, and I got to like three. And I was like, why is this so hard? The nature of our brains is that we remember negative things quicker and easier than positive ones. So I think that the reason that is because we literally go from circumstance to circumstance. And because life is life, most of those aren't good. But if we had the God and the creator of the universe as our father, I genuinely believe that if we responded and lived lives of faithful responses to his character, it'd be far easier to respond in faith. But because we often take matters into our own hands, ask God to help us do things our own way, it's difficult to see where God was exactly. When did God say something? When did he move? When did he speak? I can't pinpoint the exact moment that I felt that or saw that or realized that. But here's Elijah, a prophet, his life surrendered not unto himself, but unto God. So the but God moments that he saw were essentially almost the entirety of his life. I'm not out here doing things my own way and asking God to help me or do things for me. But I'm responding to God's faithfulness towards me. So it's easier to carry faith because I'm living under God. I'm not asking God to live under me. Won't you close your eyes for just a moment? I believe that the imagination is one of the greatest things that you and I have and have been given by God. So let's just imagine for a second that you lived the entirety of your life completely and utterly devoted to what God has placed you on this earth to do. Now, from that point, God's vision will never lack God's provision. So when we do things God's way, we give us a far greater propensity to see him take care of us. How different would your life look? Forget the past. From this point on, how different would it look? If our prayer was in the morning, God, what are you doing in this day? Help me to be obedient. God, where are you leading me in this moment? Help me to be obedient. How different would our lives look? Now, obviously, our life is not devoid of difficult circumstances, but how would you respond to those? Now that your faith in God is so completely, if I don't see God break through, I'm not going to make it through. God, you brought me here. I know for a fact you will not let me fail. God, you called me to this. I know for a fact that you won't let this thing suffer. God, you placed me here. I know for a fact that that comes with your purpose. You can open your eyes. I genuinely believe that it takes a little bit of courage to live our lives this way. to let go, surrender, as Craig said. And it's not easy to do. It really isn't easy to do. But what if we had the faith for it? What if we had the faith for it? Not because the outcome was going to go a certain way or look the way that we want. We can cast this thing out, and whatever we catch or don't catch, it must be part of God's plan. But because I believe in him, because I see him rightly, because I know that he is faithful, he is good, he loves me unconditionally, he'll never bring me this far just to leave me here. He has called me, he has commissioned me, he has purposed me. I will not fail because of who is with me. Imagine if we live our lives speaking this way, believing this way. How different would church look? Not even this church. I'm talking about the entirety of church. How different would it look? There's got to be a case to be made for living our lives this way, surely. Man, if Elijah gets to declare in faith, why can't I? Surely I can too. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Though that your faith might not rest in the outcome of a circumstance, but in the power of God. That your faith might not rest in your capability or capacity, but in the power of God. That your faith might not rest on how good you are, how well you perform, but in the power of God. Some Christians love this faith that works is dead, as if to imply, I must do stuff for God to do stuff. Wrong. Your life must be evidence of your faith in God, which means any chance you get, you take a faith step to show your belief in God. If all it ever is I prayed the prayer one time and that's it, faith without works is then dead. But if I can go from this circumstance, man, it just seems so far out of my control or capability or capacity. Maybe it was intended to be that way. So you don't trust yourself, but you trust in God. It requires us to get out of our own way and let him have his. Your but God moments aren't just so you can navigate and get past that one moment. Friends, those are testimonies. Those are stories. Those are means to encourage your own spirit, your own faith, your own journey. If not your own, then your friends, the person next to you. At the gathering this past Wednesday, I asked the guys, because I've really been feeling like faith has been the thing that we need to press into now more than ever. I asked a couple of guys to share their testimonies of having taken a faith step. Because sometimes in community, it's difficult for you to do it yourself. When you hear what God has done in so-and-so's life, how good he has been in so-and-so's life, it can encourage you to live a life of faith. So that's why this series is so littered with testimonies. So we might be encouraged of a God who is ever present for you. And whatever faith you have, there's more to access. If faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain, imagine an avocado seed. Imagine. Friends, there is faith waiting for us at the end of ourselves. So surrender yourself. Surrender to him, surrender to his plan, surrender to his purpose. And as you create a moment of Selah, an intentional spiritual pause, look back at how good he has been to you. Look back at your but God moments and share them with someone, at least one person, and watch what it does for you. And that's your homework this week. If it takes you a day, fantastic. If it takes you a week, great. But I want you to look back at your but God moments and find one person, friend, family, spouse, that you can share those but God moments with. I promise you, it does something for you, not just the person listening. It is good for us to live in a rhythm where we pause and look back, so that when whatever may lay ahead, I have the faith for, because I've seen how good he's been. And if he's brought me this far, then he'll never fail me or leave me here. Matthew, verse 22 says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." We can live lives full of faith if our faith is placed on the one who never fails. Don't misplace your faith. People change, circumstances ebb and flow, but he remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Come on, let's pray. Dad, Abba Father, I actually just want to take a moment to say thank you. Whether we realize it or not, or know it or not, you have been so good to us. We can't fully comprehend how good you've been. We can try. But I pray as we take a moment to pause this week, to look at how good you have been, how good you are, that it would give us the faith for how good you will continue to be to us. They would lead us to take faith step after faith step because we trust in you, not in a person, not in an outcome, but in you. Help us to surrender ourselves, surrender our lives, surrender to your will, surrender to your plan, surrender to your purpose. That we might see you rightly and live lives full of faith. I pray for the duration of this series that you would just speak into that. They would see you come through for people, and that encourages us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Friends, listen, there's tea and coffee outside. If you'd like some prayer, please don't rush off. Come up to the front. Love to pray for you. Okay, love you. Bye.